Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I count it a great privilege to be invited to be among you this evening to open God's word together, to hear his word read and then proclaimed, and that we would all be encouraged together to grow in Christ-likeness, to bear fruit that he has prepared for us to bear, and that together we would all be encouraged to leave equipped to love one another more and to love those who are not here even among us more, that they might be gathered in among us in the future. Thanks again for the invitation. I pray that you'll be blessed and edified as the word is read and preached. And I also thank Pastor James for his faithful witness in the city. Over the years, Second RP has been such a blessing to my family. We've attended many conferences here. I was at Pastor Joel Hart's ordination, saw that, was so encouraged and blessed by your witness in the city. But also, I share a birthday with Dr. Blackwood, and that's, to me, a great honor. In 2016, I was invited to go and just speak with him and share with him, and he did so much more speaking. I did so much more listening by God's grace as a young guy, and I learned so much. And what he kept repeating and saying over and over and over again was the importance of friends that he had had who supported him in his ministry and encouraged him in his ministry. I'm sure many of those friends that he mentioned and spoke of with such tenderness and kindness and care are among us here in this room this evening. And so, having thought about that and meditated upon that, I was like, Christian friendship, how important it is and what a blessing it is. Let's meditate on that together this evening. As we open God's word, let's pray. We'll be reading from 3 John, the entire book, and then we'll ask God to bless this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. We thank you for the kindness that you bestowed on us in Christ, that you've established us in him who is truth. And in him, you are bearing fruit of righteousness. You're bearing the fruit of patience and love and kindness and gentleness in our lives, that we might love one another with pure affection. That you're bearing fruit in our lives that we also might go and love those who have not yet heard the truth of the gospel. Lord, we pray that this evening, as we hear your word, we would be encouraged and strengthened to grow in our reliance and dependence on Jesus, that we might love one another with pure hearts, and that we might grow in greater affection for him and for one another as we meditate upon your word this evening. Bless the reading of your scripture. Bless our hearts to receive it, that our bodies might walk out in obedience and bear fruit for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the reading of God's word. 3 John, starting in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church by Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. This concludes the reading of God's word. In your sanctified imaginations, picture with me sitting in a worship service in the first century. Maybe it was an evening gathering of God's people, much like tonight. And some missionaries stood up in the congregation to bear testimony to the fruit that God had bore through their work, their labors, and maybe they would even share testimony of the difficulties they faced as well when people rejected them or turned them away, saying that those people don't have authority, they can't speak in our church. But imagine that you're in this gathering and there's an elderly man who carries much respect, not only because of his age, but because of his apostolic authority. And as he hears the witness and the testimony of these itinerant missionaries, these ministers of the gospel, he hears the name Gaius. He's like, my beloved Gaius. And they begin to speak of the hospitality that they received from the hands of Gaius. They begin to hear about, though they were faced with difficulties, maybe even facing one man in the church, Diotrephes, who didn't want them to be there. It caused them much harm. But yet Gaius was supportive and showed them hospitality and care and welcomed them and served them as Christ the Lord had served the Apostle John. And his heart swells up within him and goes, I am so encouraged by the faithful witness of my beloved friend Gaius. I must write to him. And here we have this letter, probably scribbled out on a small piece of parchment, wrapped up with another piece of parchment, potentially, that would be called the letter of 1 John, sent to Gaius as an encouragement, sent to Gaius, a beloved friend, a very dear friend of the Apostle John. John's writing to him to say, I received word about you. Carry on. Don't give up. Continue to be the blessing that you have been to me, to others as well. Because as he hears the testimony of Gaius, he cannot help but encourage him. See, the blessing of Christian friendship, particularly when we're under pressure, is the opportunity that you and I have to mark out or point out God's faithfulness in one another's lives. One of the greatest blessings of Christian friendship is for us to look into the lives of each other and point out how God is at work and to give thanks and praise to God, but also to speak to one another encouraging words, words of exhortation, to carry on, to continue, to be a blessing. I think that's the primary thrust of the entire book of 3 John, namely, encouragement and exhortation. And this evening, I want us to consider this text and point out ways that John found ways, an opportunity to encourage Gaius in his ministry. What we see is that having received the testimony of these itinerant missionaries, and it says in verse 3, that for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I've heard this. I've received this testimony, and it has established the fact that not only have you received the truth, but now you are bearing fruit by walking in the truth. And that encourages John's heart, and he says, I've heard the testimony, and I need to write to encourage you. And where did he hear the testimony? Look at verse 6. Who testified to your love before the church. And the gathered people of God, someone rose and gave testimony that Gaius had supported them, that Gaius had encouraged them, that Gaius had been a co-laborer in the truth with them. And first we see that John makes an opportunity to give mutual encouragement. Having received encouragement, he gives encouragement. And the letter is just littered with encouragement. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always up for more encouragement in my life. I think we live in a encouragement, a world that is so, we live with encouragement deficits in our life. None of us are filled with encouragement. And especially when you're under pressure. When you're going through a trial or a tough, difficult time, that's especially when the brothers and sisters need encouragement. And so what John does here for Gaius is says, I recognize what you're doing, what you've done, and I also understand the environment in which you're doing it. So what do I mean by a man needing encouragement by under pressure? Well, that's in verse 9 and 10. We see that Gaius and John have a common acquaintance. And if Diotrephes is a leader in the church and Gaius is a leader in the church, it's unclear. But they have an understanding of who one another is. And he says that Diotrephes is causing a lot of difficulty within the church. Look at the difficulty that he is causing. He does not accept the authority of John. He likes to put himself first. That's the antithesis of someone who is established in the truth. Someone who's established in the truth does not put themselves out as first, as primary. No, they always put Christ out as first and primary. But Diotrephes likes to put himself first. That always causes tension in relationships. That especially causes tension within the gathered people of God. And John says, I know him, and you know him, and it's causing a ruckus in the people of God. But see the fruit of his putting himself first and not acknowledging the authority of the Apostle John. It says, I will come to you in verse 10. I will bring up what he is doing. What is he doing? Talking wicked nonsense against us. He is speaking evil that is not rational about the authority of the Apostle John. He's speaking wicked nonsense. He's stirring up strife and bitterness and envy and anger within the congregation by speaking against the apostle who this congregation has received the truth from. He's not just doing that. He is refusing to welcome the brothers. Those who are sent to maybe bear witness and encouragement to the truth, to further bless them and encourage them. Maybe those who have come bearing other letters from John to the church. Diotrephes stops them at the door and says, not in this congregation, you won't. Says he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to. Those who are in the congregation who see that the authority that the words that John is sending them and the authority that he has, Diotrephes is saying, now you don't get a vote. You don't get a say. And he tells them that they're not even allowed to let this authority be given and spoken within the church. But he also, having put himself first, does something even more damaging to the church. He strives to put them out of the church. If you don't agree with me, then go find another place. That's a difficult situation. That's a really hard situation where Gaius is being encouraged by John to continue to faithfully labor for the truth in the midst of turmoil that Diotrephes is causing within the church. And he needs encouragement. So it's in this pressure cooker of this church that John is writing to Gaius, and he says, because I've been encouraged by you, I want to encourage you now. And here's what I see as another encouragement, another opportunity to encourage you while you are living in this difficult situation. You are continuing to progress in the truth. You are plodding in the way of the gospel. We see this in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. You find yourself in difficult circumstances, but you find yourself continuing in the faith as you've received it in Christ Jesus. You are steadily, faithfully plodding in the truth. And in that, John says, he rejoices. What is it that we see in the lives of other believers that we can rejoice over and say, I have seen this fruit in your life. I see your faithful endurance. I see your faithful plodding in the gospel. I see you faithfully standing for the truth of God's word, and I rejoice in that. I give God praise for that, and I also want you to know that you have been a source for me to give praise to God. That's like a double praise. John says, I've heard the testimony, and I've given thanksgiving and rejoiced and celebrated what God is doing in you, that you are faithfully, continually walking in the truth. And I rejoice, but I also want you to know that I'm rejoicing because of you. How encouraging is that to hear? You know, as people who are knitted in, as people who are grafted into the branch, into the life of Christ, as we are grafted into Jesus, we who are branches, when we see the fruit of Christ's likeness on the other branches, we ought to point that out in their lives. When you see another brother or sister clinging to Jesus and the fruit coming forth, rejoice that God is doing that work. But also communicate to them, I see your progress. I see your steadfast faithfulness of walking in the truth and the fruit that it's bearing. So he doesn't just see an opportunity for mutual encouragement. He has an opportunity for rejoicing in the progress of Gaius's life in the truth. Who is it in your life right now that you look at their life? Maybe it's someone in the congregation that you see. I know that they're firmly planted in the truth of God's word. I know that they're clinging to Jesus. I know that they're established in the love of Christ in their life. And I see the effects of that. I see the fruits of that. Can I invite you, even now, just to turn your heart to praise for God, to God, for what he's doing in the lives of other people, for the fruit that he's bearing in the lives of your brothers and sisters in your midst, or maybe at your workplace? And then, go a step further, after giving thanksgiving and rejoicing to God, share that with them. Encourage them. Support them. We all need more encouragement. And John takes this opportunity to say, Gaius, I've heard. I see, because other people say they have seen, and I rejoice. So he takes that opportunity to share that with Gaius. But he has another opportunity for encouraging Gaius, and that is isn't that the fact that he acknowledges his love in action. Verses 5 through 8, we see that John writes to Gaius and says, being established in the truth, you believe that. You've received that. You're resting in that. You're clinging to that. But you're growing in such a way that you're actually putting the truth into action. You're taking what you received and what you believe, what you're resting on, and you're making application of that. Namely, he's opening up his home. He's showing hospitality. He's welcoming these itinerant ministers into his life. As Christ has opened his heart to Gaius, Gaius is now opening his heart and his life to others to welcome them, just as Christ has welcomed him. And we see that in verses 5 through 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you're doing in all of your efforts. That literally is all of your labor, all of your work. And who's receiving the benefit of Gaius's labors? Who's receiving the benefit of Gaius's work? Is it not the brothers? And then it says, the brothers, these brothers, those strangers, strangers as they are. You have opened your heart, you have opened your life to strangers, but those strangers share the truth of God's life revealed in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you have deep fellowship. And that's what he talks about in 1 John. Having come to have fellowship with God the Father and the Son, now we have fellowship with one another, even though you're strangers. And what does he do with these strangers who he considers brothers? He opens his life to them. They testified to your love before the church. They testified to your love before the church. Your love, your affection, your care, your support, your nourishment, and your way of offering weary men rest in your midst. Hospitality is love expressed for the brothers. It's love expressed for the people of God. Hospitality is one of the most practical ways that we can demonstrate what Christ has done for us by welcoming us into the family of God. We can extend our lives and open our hearts to others to welcome them into our literal homes. Welcome them into our hearts because we share the truth together. And John tells Gaius, I see this. Continue in this. We acknowledge the love that you are showing. You are putting it into action. And he sees it, and they've done it in the past, but he tells them, continuing in verse 6, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. So keep doing this. Don't stop. We're sending more your way. We have encouragement that you've given to us to get more guys out to you because of the hospitality that you have shown, the love that you have shown. Surely you are rooted in the truth of the gospel. Surely you are progressing because it is evident in the hospitality and the love that you show for God's people. Who is it in your midst that you need to just open up your heart to? Maybe they're a stranger, but are they here? Are they clinging to Christ? Are they clinging to truth? Is there any stranger or just a mere acquaintance among you? Make opportunity to open your heart to them. Open your home to them. Seek ways to love the brethren. You know, one of the faithful witnesses of the RPCNA that I have just delighted in the past to hear witness of this over and over and over is how a guest pastor or a seminary student would go and preach in a congregation after driving many hours just to get to a location. They would find themselves on the Lord's Day preaching, and then, what do I do for dinner afterwards? And the faithful witness of your brothers and sisters preparing way in advance on the Lord's Day for maybe a stranger or a visitor will be in our midst, we can open our home and our hearts to them. I've heard of many seminary students and many pastors going out into itinerant ministry in the RPCNA, and they say, it's amazing, like, after the service is over, the Lord opens the hearts of people to welcome us into their home. Are you still doing that? Do you continue to do that? Do you have visitors that come in and you know they might live in Tennessee? I don't know where they might live, but you go, hey, McDonald's is not an option. We can do better. And we're going to do way better than just giving them a meal. We're going to open our hearts to them and encourage them and support them. Can I commend to you that testimony of your faithful brothers and sisters in the past, that you see that as a model for your lives? Who could you welcome? Who could you show hospitality to encourage them in their way? As John continues to meditate on the testimony that he's received, he says that, I know that you're in a difficult situation. I know Diotrephes is causing a real challenge in your midst. Don't let him discourage you in your faithful plodding in the truth and in your faithfulness in showing hospitality. He sees an opportunity here to offer him a further exhortation. And he says to him, beloved, in verse 11, my very dear friend, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. If you say you love God but you hate your brother, you're a liar. Wow. The weight of these words and the exhortation that John gives to Gaius in light of his troubles is, don't use him as your model. Don't make yourself first. Keep clinging to the truth. Keep seeking ways to become more like Christ in the midst of your church by laying down your life, opening your hearts, welcoming others as Christ has welcomed you. Do not imitate the evil that puts yourself first and your comfort first and all the things that you want first. Seek for ways to die to yourself. Seek for ways to imitate what is godly. Imitate what is good. Namely, look at the life of Christ and see how he welcomes others with open arms and open hearts. Do not look to those who shut people out. Do not look to imitate those who seek their own agenda. Do not put your trust in men who do not acknowledge the authority of God's word and his holy apostles and their witness, but seek to humble yourselves to the teaching. Seek to put yourself in a place of surrender and submission and service to others. Do not imitate the evil, but imitate what is godly and good. Because whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. What is the good fruit that is being born among you? Individually? Corporately? That fruit is from God. That fruit is because you are beholding God in his glory, and he's conforming you to the image of his Son. And as he conforms you to the image of his Son, you begin to bear the fruit that he desires from those who are in union with Christ. He has given this opportunity to give this mutual encouragement and rejoice in his progress in the truth and acknowledge his love in action. But here he also takes an opportunity to give a further exhortation. That's that exhortation. Do not imitate evil. Brothers and sisters, we are called to exhort one another in the truth. We are called to exhort, to speak the truth to one another in love. What good truths have you learned in your study of the scriptures? What good things has God given to you in your meditation, in your prayer? What have you received from Christ that you can give to another? The exhortation is, do those things. Put these things into practice. Don't just keep them to yourself. Teach someone else to do this. So John, in this exhortation, is showing us that as dearly beloved people, as those who are in Christ, as Christian friends, we are called to exhort one another. We are called to teach one another. And don't be like, well, what do I have to say? Well, as God's word taught you, take that and teach it to another. Take that and see it as an opportunity for you to build another up, even though they might be in a particularly hard situation. Exhort one another. Don't fail to do that. Who could you speak the truth of God's word to in your close circle of friends right now? When was the last time you actually took something that you had learned, maybe from a sermon or in meditation upon God's word or in a Sunday school class, and said, I need to tell so-and-so what I've learned? Did you act upon that? A faithful Christian friend has the opportunity, has the blessing of being able to exhort another to continue on in the truth. So consider that. Let me exhort you to do that. Be faithful to teach one another. You've been commanded to do this. Toward the end of the book here, in verse 12, John has an opportunity as well to bless his brother, Gaius, by saying to him, "Don't imitate evil, but let me show you something to imitate. Let me commend another brother to you who might encourage you, who might be a great help to you. Actually, I'm sending him to you." I think that's what's happening here, is John is sending Demetrius to Gaius so that he might receive him, but Demetrius is a stranger to him. So, is this trustworthy? Well, look what John says about Demetrius. He commends this other saint to him. "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone." I think that includes outsiders. I think his life is bearing fruit that everyone who is in relationship recognizes that something is obviously different about him. He has received a good testimony from everyone. His life is commendable to you. But not only do people speak well of him, his life, rooted in the truth, bears witness to his character. Because that's what it says in the next phrase here. "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself." The truth that he has received affirms his life. The truth that he professes bears witness that he is truly in the faith. There's fruit. The truth itself says that Demetrius is not just confessing, but also walking. Think about that. The truth testifies to his walk. It's in a sense that you can take the truth that is in Christ, and you look at that, and you behold that, the goodness and the truth that is in Christ, and you put up this other brother to that, and you go, there's no hypocrisy here. There's no spinning here. What he confesses, he lives. And the truth bears witness to that. And then John adds, "We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true." So everyone who knows him affirms that his testimony is true. The truth itself, Christ himself, testifies that he belongs to him. And me, John, saying, as an apostle, as an elder, we too give testimony that he is walking in the true truth. And you know, guys, that our testimony is true. And so he commends this other brother to Gaius, and he says, welcome him. Imitate him. Watch him. Because the encouragement that John has received from Gaius, he's also received from Demetrius. And look at the gift that he's giving to Gaius here. I want you two to encourage one another. I've received so much encouragement from you. Here's this other brother. This connection that could be made for the purpose of the kingdom. Commending other saints to fellow saints is a way of encouraging one another. You might have met someone in the congregation, you know, I don't know a lot about your situation, but I know this sister over here that's been through that. She's faithful. She's true to the word of God. Her testimony is true. Everyone around her speaks well. You should make a connection. They will help you along the way, and you're plotting in the truth. That's what John's doing. He's taking an opportunity to commend another brother to the saint, Gaius. I've seen a practical way of doing this is that you might not know someone particularly, but a real practical way that you can commend another brother is, what Christian literature have you read that's encouraging to you? What is a good Christian devotional that has upheld you and strengthened you in a time of trial and difficulty. Take that Christian brother or sister and commend it to another. Go the sacrificial step and actually buy the book and give it to them. But don't avoid thinking about people that you can actually make physical, real, literal, face-to-face connections with. The way that we can bless one another as Christian friends is to commend other Christian friends to each other to support and to encourage one another. I love that we have an opportunity here to consider that. Because when Christ works in people's hearts, it sends out a ripple effect that goes far beyond anything that you could imagine. See, I'm just a boy who grew up in Kansas, in a town that has more cats than people. And having grown up in Kansas, I knew nothing about singing the Psalms. I didn't know that was an option. I just knew we read it. But I had a friend, and to tell you how this impacted me greatly, as I used to work in the music industry, my profession was writing Christian music. And at one point, it just became so discouraging to me because I was battling so hard to write songs that people would stop fighting about over the lyrics and things. And I had a friend come to me and said, "Have you ever considered psalmody?" And I'm like, "Well, we rip David off all the time. That's what we do. We like read the Psalms and write a song." And they're like, "No, have you literally considered singing the Psalms?" Never heard of it. He commended me to another brother. That brother came alongside of me in my ministry and began to encourage me and faithfully taught me how to sing the songs of Jesus. And I was like, why don't we sing this truth? No more fighting over the lyrics. No more fighting over the tunes. And no more fighting if the piano player is good or not. Or the drummer. I was the drummer. But I was so encouraged, and it established me in more of God's truth. I began to actually meditate on the Psalms in such a way that I was memorizing the Psalms. And that brother commended me to another brother who, when I came back to Indianapolis to plant a church, took me to lunch and encouraged me as I was figuring out in my little pressure cooker of a life how I was going to reach my international neighbors and like how I was going to build bridges with the truth. And that brother that taught me the Psalms introduced me to another brother who was also in a familiar environment working and praying for his Muslim neighbors and reaching out to those in his midst that weren't boys from Kansas, came and encouraged me. One brother commended another brother to me that encouraged me, and his name is Pastor James Ferris. And Pastor James Ferris and another brother connected me with my birthday buddy. And there I sat in 2015 and also in 2016 and heard my birthday buddy, Dr. Blackwood, begin to speak to me about the kingdom of God and how it practically impacts our life, that we might be faithful witnesses to the glory of Christ in the world. And he gave me a practical approach to church planting. You know what it was? Befriend people. Be an encouragement to them. Rejoice when they come to faith, but rejoice as they make progress in the faith. Pour into them. Give yourself to them. Open your heart and your home to them. And then he spoke of Margie and the hospitality and the love and the life shared and the impact made. And they spoke of love and action. And at the end of it, he just goes, "Go do it." I was like, "Well, that's the exhortation. That was the exhortation. Go do it. You've received the truth. You're established in the truth. Christ has welcomed you. Go open your hearts and welcome others. Speak the truth to others. And he commended me to go and to faithfully proclaim the gospel. And here I am today. How did I get here? How did you get here? How did this church get here? Almost 60 years ago, a band of believers took Christian friendship seriously and began to put the opportunities that God has given to them into practice. And here we are. Established in the truth that God has revealed to us in Christ, but not just sitting in the truth, walking in the truth. Brothers and sisters, Christ has welcomed you. Christ has befriended you. He no longer calls you servants, he calls you friends. And as friends of Christ, we are given this privilege, this opportunity to have a great privilege of marking out what God is doing in each other's lives. A great privilege of encouraging one another to continue in the truth. The great privilege of seeing Christ at work in your midst and rejoicing and saying, look at what God has done. Look what God has done through his faithful people encouraging one another to remain faithful to the truth. I believe that if we will put these opportunities, these principles into action, the blessing of Christian friendship will flourish. You will find yourself encouraged and strengthened, but you'll also find more opportunities to encourage and strengthen others. I know that you've received the truth. Now go and speak the truth. Go embody the truth in these practical ways of giving an encouragement, of continuing plotting in the truth. Open up your hearts and your homes. Teach one another. And commend one another to those who can speak encouraging words so that the church of Christ will continue to flourish and be built up and strengthened as we who are in the truth love one another. Look at the first verse again. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, whom I have deep affection for, whom I have deep, deep, deep love for. He's writing to him who is established in truth, and that truth has created in his heart great love. Love in action. Gaius, having opened his heart to the itinerant pastors, gave John an opportunity to open his heart to Gaius. And he's given us an opportunity. See how Christ has opened his heart to us, that we might be a people who love one another, care for one another, and walk in the blessing of Christian friendship. Do you find it to be true what the Psalm says, Psalm 119? That you befriend those who revere the Word of God, who love the law of God, who love the truth. There is deep fellowship and friendship to be found when Christian brothers and sisters establish themselves according to God's Word. But don't just sit in it, but also walk in it. Let's stand and sing Psalm 119, Selection H, and hear about that kind of friendship that we've been given in Christ with one another.